You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Are there any positives for Tottenham to take from their defeat to Newcastle? What caused Ange to lose his composure so much during his press conference? How excited are Tottenham fans about their new signing, Czech goalkeeper Antonín Kinský? And what does the expression to invite pressure mean? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Footglish podcast, which is a football podcast that also aims to help people develop their English listening skills and expand their vocabulary. And I have to say that today there is no video, so this podcast is only available in the audio format, and that's because I've got some sort of face infection. In other words, I look like a zombie, so it's probably for the best if there is no video. Anyway, today I'm talking to my friend David about Tottenham again. Welcome back, David. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. How are you?
I'm, apart from that face infection I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I'm all right, thanks. I'm pretty good. So I need to talk to you today about the Spurs-Newcastle game. I've got a few interesting questions. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. First of all, I'd like to say that I have seen Zanek's face, and I think it's made the best decision for everyone to make this audio only today.
Yeah, literally. I can't go out. I can't go out. And when I have to at least order some meals, right? So I book a meal and motorbike delivers it for me. So that means I have to kind of go down at least. And I dread meeting people in the elevator. And sometimes there are some people, because this is a huge building that I'm in. And if it's kids, they just constantly look at me. They're so curious and they just sort of pointing at me like, who the fuck is that? Like, why does this person have like half of his face like so red? Yeah, so anyway, this is a football podcast. It's not a podcast about health or anything like that. So Spurs, Newcastle. To be honest, I think the shape of your team, Spurs or Tottenham Hotspur, as we can say as well, is not very it's not very far away from the way my face looks. Would you agree with that?
I think you're doing Spurs a great injustice there, Zanek.
You would say so.
I would, yeah. I mean, maybe in terms of what we can put out on the pitch, if that's what you mean, rather than the actual shape of tactics.
The results don't seem to be very good. They're very underwhelming this season, and you're struggling. You're a mid-table team now.
I think the results are bad, but I think everything has context. I think if you look at life without context, then I think that's silly.
Yeah, that's fair. There is a context to this, and we will talk about it today. So first of all, Ange Postecoglou, your manager, said that he was the angriest he had ever been. This was in the post-match conference.
Yes.
And he praised the players after this defeat. He said, it was a fantastic performance from you, but he was very, very angry. So what do you attribute his anger to?
Well, I think when he said about the players doing well, I think it's probably relative to recent weeks where they haven't been doing so well. And I think rather than like ostracizing the players at the moment, it's better to get behind them, especially as you can see at the end of other managers' reign, like Conte and Mourinho, the players generally give up.
Yeah,
it's fairly evident that the players aren't giving up at the moment and they're still fully behind Ange. I think his anger probably, well, in this game, it was to do with the referee, which is unusual for Ange, because he never really talks about the ref. But this was a strange one. It might not even be about the ref. It might even be about the rule book, the over kind of. He hates VAR in general. Yeah, and we'll probably get onto that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely keep that in mind. But basically, I think we also have to mention the fact that you have about 11 players missing from the squad. Yeah. Half of the squad is injured, so you're down to the bare bones.
Exactly.
And as far as I understand, in this game, you played two 18-year-olds and also a goalkeeper that had never played, Forster.
Yeah. Austin.
Austin, sorry. But I also have to ask you about the fact that Madison, Son, and Basuma, like big names, included in the lineup. I think they were just on bench, so why?
So I think this is a purely tactical decision by Ange, and anyone who says like he's one-dimensional in terms of just attacking, this shows he's not. I think what he knew the game first and foremost would be about physicality with Newcastle. So they've got Joelinton, Tonali, Guimaraes, and anyone who has watched them play 90 minutes knows Newcastle are a very kind of dirty, aggressive, very fit team. So I think he wanted players like Saar, even Bergvall, who's 18, but he's very fit, and even Werner, yeah, in terms of just his pace and stamina to start the game. And then he was going to bring on Basuma, Son, who haven't been in very good form anyway. So yeah, they need a rest later on in the game. And although the result didn't go the right way, on another day it could have done. And I completely get that decision by Ange.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in this game, you took the lead through Solanke. It was, yeah, a lovely header, right? Yeah. But then Newcastle scored that goal that I think nobody from the Spurs camp were happy about. Basically, in the build-up of this game, Joelinton made a handball, but they ruled it as this being his hand being in a natural position. But yeah, I always thought that any kind of handball, the goal is disallowed. I always thought this was the rule. So what happened here then?
Well, that's the thing, Zenek. I've had a lot of people are saying, by the letter of the law, this should be allowed, this goal, because this year the handball rule is if it's in the natural position, so in your shadow, or where it should be, and it's not, and you're not the player that scores, it counts as a goal. It shouldn't be disallowed. But I mean, personally, I couldn't give two shits what it says this year, because they change the rule every year. It's not like we're talking about the Ten Commandments here. Literally every year they decide to change the rule, and there's just a complete lack of common sense. Anyone who saw that goal on Saturday, if they're neutral or Tottenham, would just say that has such an impact on that passive play. There's no way that would have been scored. And especially in the modern day where you invite the press onto you to then bypass it and create a better opportunity for yourself. I mean, the ball clearly hits Joelinton, changes complete 180 degrees. And I think if there's no common sense allowed in that, you can't make a rule for everything in football and just this like overuse of having everything down to the nth degree with rules is just bizarre, especially for something like handball. Just use a bit of common sense, and very easy to see that's a handball.
Yeah, no, I feel for you. Even though I'm an Arsenal fan, it was very dodgy decision. And then I think you did not recover from that because Isak put Newcastle up front, and you lost that game. Yeah. A few moments later. So as you said, Ange Postecoglou wasn't happy. I think it wasn't the only decision that goal mentioned. There were a few other moments, and this is as you pointed out, rightly so. Ange Postecoglou himself, he is not known for actually looking for excuses of this sort. Yeah. In fact, he actually hates people who do that. So that's very unusual for him to sort of indirectly imply, because he didn't say it like very directly. He sort of implied it that he was not happy with the officials and that some things kind of went against that were not under his team's control. Basically, that's what he suggested, right?
I think that if you apply the letter of the law to that handball and say it's fine, the issue was 10 minutes later, Tottenham won the counter attack, and Dan Burn, who'd already been yellow carded, kind of came charging in with his hands like literally out like a ballerina doing a pirouette, and the ball struck his hand. So then, and the problem was the referee gave the free kick. So if he doesn't give the free kick, I understand the ref's made a mistake, doesn't matter. But the ref's given the free kick for the handball. The handball's, the hands are way out of his body. I mean, that's just known to be a yellow card if you stop a counter-attack with a deliberate handball, and he decides not to book him. So it's like you can't apply the letter of the law to one handball and not the other. So it's just like that was. And then there was Joelinton, who is a very physical player, just, you know, when the player does 2, 3, 4 yellow card fouls and doesn't get any of them as a yellow card, that kind of winds up a manager of the opposition team. So there's a lot of that going on too.
But I think you can take some positives from this game. You definitely deserve at least a point. Yeah. And there's some positives to be taken from the game, basically. And what you have to do is that you just have to, like, if you are Postecoglou, you have to turn this into sort of positive motivation and try to encourage the players, stand behind, be behind them, and, you know, just, galvanize the team.
I think so, yeah. I think this was different to the other games we've had recently where we've played against Wolves and drew 1-1, and then we've had a few away games where we just haven't kind of turned up and it's very just lethargic. This was different.
It felt different, I watched some bits from the game as well. I have to be honest, I didn't watch the whole game, but So this is what I admire about Ange. He just doesn't back down from his style. It's the Ange ball. And it's kind of admirable. Although some people might say that means it doesn't show his flexibility. But I kind of admire it. I think Tottenham should play the way they do. And neutrals also appreciate this.
Exactly. And can I just say, the Premier League this year is just so much more competitive.
Yeah.
Apart from the three bottom teams, or two, that every team has good players. Like even Cunha at the moment for Wolves is about to sign a new contract, and he could go to a few good clubs. So even Palace have like Eze. Last year they had Elise. Every team's got
good players
that can hurt another team. So, and that makes it better, I think. But it does mean that a team like Spurs or Arsenal, they're not going to win every game.
No.
Like, it's not going to be like Pochettino 5 years ago where the league is much worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's really interesting. Anyone can kind of beat anyone. Apart from, I would say, Liverpool. Liverpool seem to be thriving on this.
They're the most consistent team.
They're the most consistent team, but we all know about Manchester City's crisis and all that. But a few struggling team, apart from your team, Tottenham, we would also have to mention Manchester United, of course, and not just them. West Ham is not doing well. And who else? I'm missing one. Yeah, but of course, City. Yeah. So one thing I really have to ask you about, as you know, I'm from the Czech Republic. I'm Czech. And you, I believe, have signed a Czech player. Tottenham have signed a Czech goalkeeper, Antonín Kinský.
So you've got a new fan called Zenek.
No, I'm not going to become a fan.
Whenever your player signs a player from Czech, you change to their team. Like,
no,
Arsenal was the key. Then it was West Ham with Tufel and Suter. And that'll be Spurs.
I know you're trying to wind me up, but I will explain this. I'm going to come clean on this. Yeah. So I am more a Czech fan than I'm an Arsenal fan. Basically, that's the reason. Yeah. So I love the Czech national team. I've always supported it. And especially if you are from a small country, like every sort of success of a player abroad, especially in a league like the Premier League, which in my opinion is the best league in the world, it's great. Like it feels great to see that. So that's why I support West Ham. That's why I wish all the best to Antonín Kinský.
Yeah.
Even if I'm an Arsenal fan. So I know maybe I wouldn't be, this wouldn't bode well with the Arsenal fans. They would definitely take the piss out of me for that. But I cannot help it. Yeah. So he signed for £12.5 million.
Yeah.
which I think for you is quite cheap, but for the Czech league, because he's coming from Slavia Prague.
Yeah.
For the Czech league, it's like one of the highest transfers. So
oh, really?
For a goalkeeper, it's great. I think Petr Cech was nowhere near that actually when he went to he first went to Rennes, the French team. So what do you make of him then?
Well, obviously, I don't watch Czech domestic football, but I've watched some of the highlights, and I haven't seen him play, but what I like is the profile in terms of. I think we said in the previous podcast under Pochettino, I thought they should have made a really tough decision to sell Hugo Lloris, even though he was one of the best goalkeepers in the world, because he couldn't play with his feet. I just think it changed the whole setup of what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
So I just think that goalkeeper who is calm and can play with their feet, it's so important when you try and invite the pressure on in modern day football to then get behind the opposing team. And the good thing about this goalkeeper seems like he is of that kind of new type of goalkeeper where he can use his feet and play calmly out the back. And that's the main thing. And then you just have to trust the scouts so they see that he's a good goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, well, he does have great numbers. And as you said, he is amazing with his feet. And this is true. I have seen it with my own eyes. We have seen him in the national team as well. He does have this calm presence around him, and he doesn't seem to make mistakes. Of course, you will eventually make a mistake, but the point is to minimalize these mistakes, right? And if he can play this way, I think that he will definitely suit the Ange system, because you want to play it out from the back, I think.
Yeah. Well, but the good thing is also that he seems to be bought in to provide competition for Vicario rather than just being a backup. I think they're going to fight out for the number one spot. I mean, maybe Vicario kind of at the moment seems like the number one, but he'll have a couple of months playing because Vicario is out for another 2 months.
He's injured. That's right.
Yeah, so it's his chance now to grab it, I'd say.
Absolutely. So you think he will start as number one then from the get-go?
Absolutely. I mean, Fraser Forster is just an embarrassment of a goalkeeper. He should have retired years ago. He's good at saving anything that's close to his body.
Yeah.
But anytime he has to run, he really plods, and it's hard to watch. In fact, I would say Austin, our third choice, looks from that game a lot better than our second choice. But I think he'll go straight in the team for Wednesday.
They've got
the work permit, so he's allowed to be registered. So yeah,
right. Yeah, you need that after Brexit. You need a work permit now if you want to work in the UK. Yeah. Because I used to work in the UK as an English teacher. So back in the day, there was no Brexit.
Of course,
I could just work there in an easy way. But now it's more complicated. But the point is, you have got a Czech goalkeeper now. We wish him all the best. And hopefully he beds in well and he shows his quality.
I hope so.
Immediately and improves your team. And hopefully he will develop himself as a player too.
Is it Arsenal at the weekend? Maybe he'll get man of the match in that game. I think it's the North London derby either this weekend or next weekend.
Oh, is it?
I think it's the next weekend. I think it's FA Cup this weekend.
Wow. Yeah. If it's the next weekend, oh my God.
We can watch it together in Da Nang maybe. If I'm back
in Da Nang... No, it's not.
I don't think you will be,
No, but it's not. It's not.
I think it's
probably the week after.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but I think I will be in Da Nang back then. So anyway, this is a private conversation. You're just listening in on, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, Jenks, David, a.k.a. Jenks, is my friend. And we are about to catch up in Da Nang, which is the city I used to live in. But now I'm in another city. So hopefully we will manage to see this North London derby together again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, David, thanks. Thank you very much for all your insight. And I hope to talk to you soon, mate.
Yeah, take care, Zanek.
Bye. Cheers. Bye. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to do my job. I'm an English teacher. That's right. If you need an English teacher, you could hire me. I offer one-to-one online lessons. And all you have to do is to just email me at teachersdenek
at gmail.com, and we will take it from there. And this time on the language corner, I'd like to explain several vocabulary items that appeared in my conversation with David. And so these words or phrases were used by David and I. Let's start with this one. I compared Spurs basically to the way my face currently looks, and which is the reason this episode is not on YouTube. I think you're doing Spurs grace injustice, was, however, David's response to that. If you're doing someone great injustice, it means that basically you are being unfair to Spurs. You are too critical to Spurs. Basically, your comparison of your face is too harsh and undeserved. Basically, what he was saying is that my face looks much worse than Tottenham Hotspur look at the moment as a football team, which obviously was a little bit lighthearted from David as well, I would say. Rather than ostracizing players, it's better to get behind them. David said that. What does ostracizing players mean? Basically, it means excluding or alienating them from the team or squad, isolating them, either emotionally or professionally, ostracizing someone, right? So he could have, we are talking about Postecoglou here, by the way, Ange Postecoglou, the Spurs manager, he could have gone after his players, he could have criticized his players, but he's not doing that. He doesn't want to ostracize his players, he doesn't want to alienate them. Instead, excuse me, he talked about the referees or the rules of the game. Next, half the squad is injured, so you're down to the bare bones. I said that one. If you're down to the bare bones, it means you have very few resources left. And in football, this means that the squad is severely depleted due to injuries, suspensions, or other issues. And it basically leaves you with limited options. Yeah, so if you're down to the bare bones, it's not very good. All you have is the bones. Like, it's like a metaphor from, I think it's a metaphor from eating some sort of animal, sort of it could be a barbecue or whatever. You eat an animal and all you have left is now the bones, because everyone else has eaten the meat. So you're down to the bare bones. Not very options left to eat, right? If you are starving, let's say hungry, on a desert island or something. Right, next. Although the result didn't go their way, on another day it could have done, said David about the Tottenham's performance. If something doesn't go your way, it means the things don't work out in your favor. And in this case, basically you don't win the match. Or you don't get a favorable outcome in the match. You don't draw, you don't win. It doesn't go your way. Mm-hmm. Very useful expression indeed. I feel for you, even though I'm an Arsenal fan. It was a dodgy decision, right? So I was referring to the first Newcastle game and the fact that there was a handball in the build-up of that game. And I was talking about the referee's decision to award this goal, despite VAR's check. But if you say something is a dodgy decision, it means this decision is questionable or suspicious. Maybe it implies a poor judgment or unfairness, usually by a referee or official, right? So basically, you are sort of criticizing the decision by using the word dodgy. Ange doesn't back down from his style. I said that one. If you don't back down from your style, you don't abandon or compromise your approach or philosophy. You keep doing the same thing that you believe in. That's what Ange Postecoglou is known for. He's sticking to his principles even under pressure. Even when things don't go Tottenham's way, he will not back down from his style. This wouldn't bode well with Arsenal fans. They would take the piss out of me. Basically, I was talking about the fact that I will support Kinski, even though he's going to play for Tottenham now. Kinski is a Czech goalkeeper, and of course I wish him all the best, and I want him to succeed, because I'm Czech and I support the Czech team most and foremost. And I sort of suggested that this might not bode well with the Arsenal fans. They would take the piss out of me. So we have two expressions here. If something doesn't bode well with someone, it basically means that it wouldn't be kind of accepted by them. It wouldn't be well received by them, right? They would not react positively to that. And they would take the piss out of me. So if someone takes the piss out of you, they make fun of you. They mock you, often humorously, but sometimes harshly too. This is common in British slang, to take the piss, or to take the piss out of someone. Right, and then we have, it's so important when you're trying to invite the pressure in modern world football. And Kinski can do this. That's right. So to invite the pressure means to deliberately allowing the opposite team to press aggressively. You kind of provoke the team. You poke the bear. You want the opposing team to press you, because this is a way for you to create space, right? For a counterattack. It's part of like modern football. You invite the pressure. That's why you play it out from the back. You take advantage of the quality of your defenders and the goalkeeper, the fact that they can pass it around with ease and with precision. And this will obviously create space, because there will be a lot of players on your half. And that means, hopefully, your attacking players, once the game switches to them, you will be able to capitalize on that. All right, and finally, I said, so you think he will start as number one from the get-go? This is a question I asked. What does the get-go mean? Or from the get-go, actually. It means from the beginning, right? So he's just signed for Tottenham. He's new at the team, at the club. And will he start from the get-go? Will he start as the first choice goalkeeper from the beginning? Well, I hope so. We will see. We will see. All right, listeners, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, I apologize for the inconvenience of not being able to publish this episode on my YouTube channel. And if you want to support the Footglish podcast, why don't you write a review on Apple Podcasts or give this 5-star rating on Spotify? This would go a long way. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.